الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders, beloved brothers in Islam, as we enter into this new year, and in a few weeks from now, the new curriculum or the new calendar year for the syllabus, for the current syllabus of 2026 will begin. And every parent makes an effort to see that and ensure that his youngster or his child is enrolled in the best institute and has the best academic knowledge as far as this worldly knowledge goes. And every parent now begins making an effort to ensure that his child is correctly and adequately prepared for the first day of school. We will now see that all the signage in many of the stores will change from the festive advertising to now back to school. Back to school boards, you'll see everywhere, back to school boards. So parents will now make an effort to ensure that the stationery for their child is there, the school uniform for the new year, whatever else is required, the child is prepared for the first day of school. And it is important and it is necessary that every child receives the correct education. But of utmost importance and far greater importance than the education of this world is a person, a child, a youngster gets that education that will grant him not only success in this world, but will grant him success in the qabr and in the akhirah. And that is the Islamic education, the dini education. We find that this Islamic education, this dini education, was something that from the very, very beginning of Islam, it was something that was implemented. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ta'lim and ta'allum was done, learning and teaching was done. Initially in Makkatul Mukarramah, it was done privately, secretly. We find that the acceptance of Islam of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was as a result. He went to his sister's home, lengthy incident, we know the incident, we're not going into the details. But he goes to his sister's home and he finds them teaching the Quran and Majid amongst themselves. And like that, when the Sahaba were making hijrah to Madinah Munawwara, prior to that, those group of 12 Sahaba that came from Madinah Munawwara to Makkah and they accepted Islam at Aqaba, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu to go to Madinah Munawwara and begin teaching them Islam and Deen. And this teaching of young children also took place in an informal way during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in the era of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. In the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, it took a formal, it became formal. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu created a structure wherein times were given for learning. They even allocated a time for break. He even stipulated a wage for the ustaz that were teaching, etc. So from that time, we find that this is something, this teaching of our young ones is a key of deen being preserved in our lives and the lives of our family and the lives of our progeny and the lives of generation to come. Historically, if one looks around the world, and unfortunately there are many, many countries that have such an example, wherein if they wanted to destroy Islam and deen in that country, then the first step was to cut off the maktab system. To destroy that maktab system completely. And we find whichever countries that was done, then countries that were 100% Muslim, countries that were the seat of learning at the time. If anybody wanted to go and learn, they should go to Islam, they should go to those countries to learn. But when this maktab system was cut off, and it was broken off from the people, then in a space of one or two generations, Islam was almost totally wiped out. People will have Muslim names, but they will not even know the kalima. They will think that the masjid is only for Jummah, and that to a very few of them. The seniors amongst them perhaps will know little, but the youngsters will know nothing of deen. When secular education was given preference over deen, some countries of the world, the madrasas were changed to universities. And that destroyed the deen in the generations that came thereafter. We have to make a lot of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when our forefathers, many of us, our forefathers had come from India. When they came to this country, they made that effort and they ensured that they put these madrasas and these maktabs into place. And as a result of which, many seniors in this majma will testify to this. That back in their days, when they went to school, it was compulsory. There was no choice. The parents would even tell them that even if you don't go to school, make sure you attend that madrasa after school. And what we learned at the hands of that ustad or that apa, simple madrasa that we attended after school, that is what carries us throughout our lives. How to perform salah, all the du'as that we learn, the basic surahs that we learn, that carries a person throughout his life. So this maktab education, friends and elders, this madrasa, it is very, very important. It cannot be compromised and it cannot be left out. It is what we need to preserve deen in our lives and deen in the lives of the ummah and deen in the lives of progenies to come till the day of Qiyamah. It will not only going to benefit the child, but it will be a great benefit to us as parents also. In one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem also mentions that إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ عَادَمَ إِنْ قَتَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثَةٍ. That when the son of Adam, when insan passes away, then all his actions, his ability to earn good deeds, are cut off now. He's passed away, he's gone in the qabr. He cannot earn any good deeds anymore. But there are three avenues by which a person can still earn good deeds. Three avenues that are still left behind. Even though a person passed away, he's in a qabr, many, many years later, but he can still earn reward. Three avenues. The first one is what? Sadaqatin jariyatin. A person gave some charity that is continuous. Perhaps he donated some Qurans to a masjid, a madrasa, people are reciting Quran, he's getting the sawab for it. Or he assisted in the building of a masjid or a madrasa. He donated to some cause. Perhaps there was a well. He gave money towards that well. And people are drinking water and benefiting from it. So he gets the reward for it. So long as that whatever he contributed was still present, he will get the reward for it. Many, many years later also. The second one is ilmin yuntafa'u bihi. That knowledge wherein a person took benefit from it. He taught someone something good. Perhaps a person working with him, he taught him something. Whatever knowledge he imparted, he taught somebody how to read namaz, he taught somebody the kalima, he taught someone some surah. Now he passed away. But that person learned from him and he's practicing upon it. And he taught it to someone else. And like that, that chain is continuing. This person passed away maybe perhaps 100 years ago also. But that knowledge that he imparted, it is going to now benefit him in the qabr. And the third one is, وَلَدٍ صَالِحٍ يَدْعُوا لَهُ. A pious child that will make dua for the parents. A pious child. That is, we all make an effort. And we want to be worried about the well-being of our children. That they get the best education as far as this world goes. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that the best gift that a parent can give his child is good akhlaq, good character. If a child has that, how often we find parents complaining that the children of nowadays, the youngsters of nowadays have no respect in them. So if the child has good akhlaq, good character, good conduct in him, he will respect those around him, he will respect his parents, he will respect his elders. And that is learned in the madrasa. So that is the best gift that a person can give his child. And when he has this deen in him, he learns all his aspects of deen, then thereafter, whatever he progresses with in the world, it will always be an asset to him. Whether he becomes a doctor thereafter, he becomes an engineer, he becomes a pilot, whatever he might become thereafter. But if he has deen in him, this will be an asset for him, and it will enable him to progress in the world. It will be an asset to deen also. Every professional is an asset to deen. So friends and elders, let us not deprive our youngsters, our young ones from this Islamic education, this maktab education. Let us not take it something lightly and something small. The ulama of the past used to mention that every child that is going to madrasa and learning Quran, deen, this is a means of turning away the azab and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are drawing from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And friends and elders, let us not be fooled, or let us not think that we are enrolling our children sometimes in Islamic schools or Muslim schools and that is sufficient. No. That knowledge that they're learning in the schools, etc., it cannot replace what they are learning in the maktab. That young child, every afternoon, is carrying the juzdan close to his heart with the Quran inside it, with his kitabs inside it. He's making that sacrifice in the afternoon and he's going to madrasa. It is not a small and ordinary thing. He is going specially and solely for the purpose of learning deen and acquiring deen. He is drawing from the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once in the time of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was passing by a place. Allah had given Isa alayhi salam certain powers, so he could hear that the inmate of, they were passing by a grave. So Nabi Isa alayhi salam could hear that the inmate of this grave is being punished. So Isa alayhi salam continues on his journey. When he is returning, he hears that now the punishment has been removed. And this person is having a good time in the grave. So when Isa alayhi salam returns, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he inquires from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, O my Allah, first your servant was being punished, and thereafter this punishment was removed from him. What is the reasoning behind it? How is this possible? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down upon Isa alayhi salam, inspires upon him, and advises him that, O Isa, this person, when he left this world as a sinner, and he was being punished from the day he was lowered into the qabr. But when he had passed away, he left his wife who was expecting. And thereafter she gave birth to a child, and this child grew up to a certain age, and he was enrolled into the madrasa. And when he was enrolled into the madrasa, he began learning, and he began saying my name, began saying the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala tells Nabi Isa alayhi salam, that, O Isa, I felt ashamed in punishing the inmate of this grave whilst his child was taking my name. Such is the power of a child who is taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the effect of a person in the grave also? So this is something very, very important, friends and elders, that let us not deprive our children of this Islamic education. And if they are, if we have children or grandchildren, let us ensure that they are enrolled in the madrasa. But if a person does not have children, then he still has a responsibility. Perhaps in his building where he is staying, there might be some youngsters who he sees loitering around the building after school. They are not attending madrasa. Let us also make that effort and that fikr. Speak to their parents. If that's not possible, then speak to the Maulana of the madrasa and bring them. Personally bring them. We, alhamdulillah, no madrasa, we've seen many such times where those that they bring their neighbors' children or those that are around them. Sometimes a person, his staff working with him, person working with him, working under him. He has a child and he does not know where to enroll this child. He does not have the contact with the masjid or the madrasa. So the person that has the contact with the madrasa, he brings his co-worker's child or his employer's or employee's child to the madrasa. Imagine what reward the person gets just for taking that little step. A friend's child, a cousin's child, some distant relative also, you know, he stays in the next street and his child not attending madrasa. And friends and elders, when a child is brought to the madrasa, unlike the institutes wherein dunyavi education is being imparted, they worry about the fees, etc. Many a time the madrasas do not even worry about this. Everything is taken care of. Or if they do charge a fees, they charge a minimal fees. So we, if we do that, inshallah, we will also be building our akhirah. The child whom we made an effort. Sometimes perhaps the jamaats are going for gush, they see children and they bring them. They speak to the parents and the child comes to attend the madrasa. Can you imagine how much of reward these brothers get now? The child attending the madrasa, and you find them for many, many years the child is thereafter in the madrasa. Every day the child is reciting Quran and Majid. The reward goes to that person who made that effort to ensure that the child attends madrasa. So this is also another way in which we can make an effort in ensuring that deen stays in our community and in our progeny and in our families till the day of Qiyamah. Friends and elders, this is the time of the year. A new year has now begun. And it is the time of the year when the forces of batil are calling and distracting one person, each person away from deen and calling towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that many a times, as we had witnessed yesterday, this new year becomes a time of celebration. However, as Muslims, friends and elders, we should understand that this new year, for every passing time, is not a time to celebrate, but is a time to lament, a time to reflect and ponder that the year 2025 has now passed. How much have I done? What have I done to strengthen my ties with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One year of my life has passed. I'm now going 1 year closer towards my qabr. I'm going 1 year closer towards my end. Inna nafrahu bil ayyam, like the poet says, that you become pleased with the days passing by and you celebrate and you rejoice. Every birthday becomes a cause of celebration. Every anniversary becomes a cause of celebration. Every new year becomes a cause of celebration. وَكُلَّ يَوْمٍ مَضَى يُدْنِي مِنَ الْأَجْلِ. That every passing day is now bringing us closer and closer and closer to our qabr. نُجَدِّدْ سُرُورًا بِالْهِلَالِ إِذَا بَدَى. That we express happiness when you see the new moon, express happiness. But what is the reality of that moon? That moon that comes out is showing us and indicating to us that your days of your life are now being cut. Every day of your life, you are gone 1 year less. 1 year less of your life, you are going closer and closer to the qabr. So it is not a time of merrymaking and rejoicing, but rather it is a time of pondering and reflecting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this life. Our life in this world is limited. Our life in this world is very, very short. How often are we hearing that even in this time when a person goes out for holidays, etc., a stark reminder that even this holiday can turn into a tragedy. As an indication that is not, this dunya is not for us to celebrate and rejoice and merry make, But it is for us to ponder and reflect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us his life in this world. How much have I done? Ponder and reflect, the year 2025 has passed. How much have I done to strengthen my bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much have I done to prepare towards my akhirat? And many times people make resolutions. Let us also make intention in that regard. This year 2026 has come. Let us also make intentions that I will live a life of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will live a life of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn my back to the life of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us also make an intention. This is the month of Rajab. And inshallah we will be hearing more about this Mubarak month of Rajab in the coming days to come. But the important lesson of Rajab is the journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the gift that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given at the end of this journey. And that was the gift of 5 times daily salah. Let us also make that intention that this new year has come. We will not turn our back to the masjid. We will not let another azan fall upon deaf ears. Let us ensure that we perform our 5 times daily salah with jamaat in the masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.